The first reading today we hear from the beginning of the book of Revelation. This obviously is a book that has captured the imagination of lots and lots of people over the centuries. And to be perfectly honest, no one quite knows exactly what it means. It is so filled with all kinds of symbolism and allegories and all kinds of different things and layer upon layer and so on. Some things seem to be pretty clear. Other things, you can read all the different commentaries and you'll have a whole bunch of different opinions on what people think that it means. So we don't know some of the things. What we do know is that it shows us some of what's going to happen at the end of the world. But if you look at its context and you look at what St. John says, he talks about the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must happen soon. Well, that was 2,000 years ago. Now, granted, when we're dealing with God, 2,000 years is pretty soon, because God is infinite. But the context of it shows us several things. If you read it carefully, you will recognize that when it was written, the temple was actually still there. Some people will suggest that this is the last book that was written, probably around 120. The temple was destroyed in the year 70, and so it couldn't have been written around 120. And in fact, there are a couple of historians that talk about the fact that when Rome was destroyed, that not a single Christian person, when Jerusalem was destroyed, by the Romans, back in the year 70, not a single Christian person was killed. And the reason that is given is simply because of the vision. What vision? And it is assumed by most scholars that it is this vision that we have been, we're about beginning to hear about from today, we'll hear about over the next couple of weeks. The vision of St. John as he saw the things that are going to be coming. And Jesus had told the people that when you see these things, head for the hills. And that's exactly what they did. All the Christian people left Jerusalem. They got out. And we know that the Romans killed more than 1 million people. All of them, the Jewish people who had come to be able to worship God in Jerusalem for the feast. And so there is a point as we look at this to be able to understand that it did indeed already happen. All of the things that are here have already occurred. We can look forward and we can say all of the things that are in the book of Revelation are going to occur. And then we can look at the present and say, all of the things in the book of Revelation are occurring. And that makes it even more difficult to understand exactly what this is all about because you have to look forward, you have to look backward, and you have to look in the present. But isn't that the absolute brilliance of God? To be able to give us something that knows no time. It served its initial purpose. It continues to serve its purpose, and it will serve its purpose all the way until the end of the world. And I suppose all the way till the end of the world, people are going to be coming up with fantastic ideas about exactly what this or that or the other thing means. The reality is, we need to be able to look at what God's intention is in this. And to be able to see what it is that he's doing. He has written this so that people would be able to understand, which obviously the early Christians did. That's why they got out of Jerusalem. They understood. Now, maybe they didn't understand all the symbolism that was in there, but it didn't matter. They understood what this was about. And that's what we have to be able to do as well. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, Again, there are lots of different ways of being able to look at things. There are all the sevens, and there are layers of the sevens, and there are three different things about all the sevens. And so again, you've got, it's, I don't know if you've seen, I've never actually tried this, but they have, I think they call it 3D checkers or 3D chess or something like that. And it's like you've got three different chess boards and you're playing on three different levels all the same. That's kind of what this is about. You see it happening in three different ways, all simultaneously though. And so even though, like I said, we can look past and we can look forward, we can look at the present, and at the same time, it's all simultaneous. But when you read the book of Revelation, understand it's about the worship of God. And ultimately, if you read it very carefully, you will recognize it's about Mass. And so what we're doing here is exactly what St. John is going to be writing about. Now he starts out with these messages to the seven churches of Asia Minor. And again, there are lots of ways that people have been able to look at that over the years. One of them, though, that I think is very insightful and important for us is to see that in these seven messages to the churches, you have every single possible human response to the Word of God. So today we hear about the Church of Ephesus. The angel of the Church of Ephesus is the bishop in Ephesus. And we're told about how he's tested these people, he suffered, he's not grown weary, and yet you've lost your first love. We all know people that are faithful, that are strong in their faith, and yet they've lost the zeal. They've lost that first love. And that's what the Lord is asking him to get back to. So again, you see that kind of thing. We'll see some have fallen away. We'll see some that are tolerating evil. They've found a way to try and compromise, which obviously God did not tolerate at all. We find all these different things. So again, as you go through those first couple of chapters of the book of Revelation, somewhere in there you're going to be able to say, that's me. That sounds just like me. It's because, again, it covers the gamut of everything. So then you look at that and you say, all right, starting with what I know about myself, now let's read the rest of the book from that perspective. And maybe it's rather providential that God gives to us this gospel reading today, where the man just simply prays, Lord, that I may see. That's what we need to pray for, that God will open our eyes, not just to understand something like the book of Revelation, because I suspect none of us is really going to understand it until we're in heaven and we're looking directly at God and we'll go, oh, that's what that meant. But that we can see, like the early Christians did, understand what this meant and therefore what their response was. That we will be able to see as we read these messages to the seven churches, how this applies to me, where I fit into this whole thing and what it is that I need to do and how I need to change to get my life back on track or to do whatever needs to happen. Lord, that I may see who Jesus is, just like this blind man. He had more insight than all the people who had 20/20 vision, but he couldn't see. Well, maybe we don't have a problem with our eyes, but maybe there's a problem with the insight, the eyes of our soul. So whether it's reading the book of Revelation, whether it's the spiritual life, whether it's coming to know the Lord more, whether it's how I live my faith, it's the same principle. Lord, that I may see, to have understanding, to have insight, so that we can know and to do in our lives the will of God.